I invite you to turn with me to the Holy Scriptures, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. We read the verses 20 to 33. Hear God's word. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. When your fear comes as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his word to our hearts. Dear friends, there are many voices clamoring for our attention today. There are voices on television and radio and in newspaper ads urging us to buy this or that product. There are voices in mosques and temples and churches urging us to follow this or that religious teaching. There are voices within and outside the halls of our governments, at every level, urging us to subscribe to this or that political philosophy, or to support this or that political party or platform. There are voices telling us how to make a lot of money, how to make yourself look younger, how to lose more weight, how to raise children, how to succeed and find happiness in life. There are so many voices that after a while we come to tune some, if not all of them, out completely. But my friends, there is one voice that we must never tune out. There is one voice that we must listen to at all costs. It is the voice of wisdom. And we hear her voice in the words of our text, Proverbs 1, verses 20 to 33, which we read earlier. Here in these verses, wisdom, personified as a woman, calls out to the foolish to turn from their foolishness and receive from her the gift of wisdom, warning them that if they refuse, they will surely perish. Well, it's to this cry that we turn our attention with God's help today. My theme is the cry of wisdom. We'll consider three thoughts in connection with this theme. First of all, the lamentable reason for this cry. Secondly, the urgent requirement in this cry. And thirdly, the wicked response to this cry. First then, the reason, the lamentable reason for this cry. The words of our text today take us into the heart of a large city. And there we see a woman. Who is this woman? Well, she is wisdom personified. And for that reason, some commentators have referred to her as Lady Wisdom. She appears several times in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, but this is the first time. You notice what she is doing. She's walking up and down the streets. And she stops at all the public squares and at the entrance to the gate of the city. She even climbs up to the highest walls of the city. And wherever she goes, she cries at the top of her lungs. What does she cry? Why does she cry? Well, she cries because she wants all men to hear her. She has an urgent message, a pressing message that she wants everyone to hear. And so what better way to get men to listen than to cry at the top of your lungs? But there's another reason why she cries. She cries because the people whom she is addressing are spiritually deaf and dead. And notice how she addresses them in verses 22 and 23. She calls them simple ones, scorners, and fools. The word simple can also be translated as gullible or naive. These are people, usually younger people, who are not solidly rooted. They were brought up with the truth. They were instructed in the truth of in the path of wisdom, but they have not followed that path, at least not completely. They haven't committed themselves to that path. And as a result, they are easily led astray. And faced with a choice between following the path of wisdom and the path of simplicity, they consistently, naturally follow the path of simplicity, because that's where their heart is. Now, the scorner is one who mocks God and his word. He actually delights in doing so. He knows the truth, but he doesn't take it seriously. He simply goes on living for himself and his own pleasure. The fool is one who denies the existence of God altogether. In Psalm 14, it's the fool who has said in his heart, "There is no God." Now, such people, Lady Wisdom says, hate knowledge. When confronted with knowledge, they utterly reject it. They prefer the lie over the truth. Now, there's a certain progression here. There is still some hope for the simple. There's much less hope for the scorners. And there is no or very little hope for the fool. The farther along the line we go, the less hope there is, because the more deaf and dead the people become. Now, you say, if that's true, then why then does wisdom cry? Why cry out to people who are deaf and dead? Well, the reason is because it is precisely through crying that the deaf are made to hear and the dead are brought to life. You see, because of our fall in Adam, we are born simple, scorners, and fools. And there is nothing we can do about it. We cannot make ourselves unsimple. We cannot stop scorning. We cannot stop being fools, at least not in and of ourselves. Only God can do that. God must do a miracle in our hearts and in our lives. He must cause us to hear and to respond to his word. And he does that in regeneration. What is regeneration? Regeneration is that work by which God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, working through his word, implants in the sinner a principle of spiritual life, such that the sinner is enabled both to hear and to respond to the call of the gospel to repent and believe. And he works this grace through the preaching of the word, which is the seed of regeneration. And that's why wisdom cries. Wisdom cries because she knows that it is precisely through crying that the deaf are made to hear and the dead are brought to life. You think of Lazarus, who was dead for 3 days in the tomb. He was so dead that his body was already in advanced stages of decomposition. And the Lord Jesus stands before his grave and he cries, "Lazarus, come forth." You say, how foolish is that? How could Jesus command Lazarus to come forth when he is dead? What happened? Well, Lazarus came forth. Why? Because of the power of the word of Christ. Christ calls, and sinners come. And this is why wisdom cries. Now, what does she say? Brings us to our second point, the requirement in this cry. Lady Wisdom is crying in the streets. And listen to what she says. "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge." And that question, "how long," conveys a note of frustration. By this time, the simple, the scorners, and the fools should have been following the path of wisdom, but they are not. They're following the path of foolishness, and Lady Wisdom wants to know why. It's like she's saying, why are you like this? Why are you doing this? Why, you simple ones, do you love simplicity? Why, you scorners, do you delight in scorning? Why, you fools, do you hate knowledge? Why does she ask this? Well, because she knows what will happen to them if they don't change. They'll be destroyed. And that's why she asks, how long? How long are you going to continue in this path? My friend, that question also comes to us today. Are you simple? If so, how long will you love simplicity? Are you a scorner? If so, how long will you delight in scorning? Are you a fool? If so, how long will you hate knowledge? Don't you know that you're on the wrong path? Don't you know that if you stay on that path, you'll be destroyed? How long, therefore, will it be before you come to your senses? How long will you keep walking in the path of foolishness? You need to turn. That's what Lady Wisdom says. Turn you at my reproof. And that word turn is related to the word repent. That's what repentance is. To repent means to turn around. It means to do an about face on sin. It means to stop going in one direction, the way of sin and the way of the world, the way of the devil, and start going in the opposite direction, which is the way of righteousness and godliness. Now that's what the simple must do. That's what we all must do. We must repent for the first time or again, and we must do so today before it is too late. It's the only way we can avoid certain and eternal destruction. We must turn. We must repent. That's the requirement in this call. My friend, have you done this? Maybe you're reluctant to do that. You know that if you repent, you have to give up your sins, and you love your sins. You don't want to repent. You want to enjoy living in your sins, living for the world and the things of the world. You don't want to give these things up. Well, wisdom knows that too. Wisdom understands the alluring and attraction of sin. And therefore, as if to encourage us to repent, Lady Wisdom holds out a wonderful promise. You notice it comes in verse 23. She says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Now, some have interpreted the word spirit here to be an oblique reference to the Holy Spirit. And that certainly makes sense, since it is the Holy Spirit who makes sinners spiritually alive and who teaches them true wisdom. But the word spirit can also be translated as thoughts, which parallels the word words in the next line. The point is, those who turn from foolishness will become wise. They will be taught by wisdom herself, and those who are taught by wisdom will have life. Well, have you been taught by Lady Wisdom? Have you heard her urging you to turn from the path of foolishness and to turn into the path of wisdom? This is a serious matter, my friends. For ultimately, the one who is calling us in our text is Christ himself. We know that because he is wisdom personified. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24, Paul calls Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, he says that Christ Jesus is made unto us wisdom. In Colossians 2, verse 3, he says that in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Christ is the wisdom of the Father, who reveals the wisdom of the Father unto men, and also imparts this wisdom through the working of his Holy Spirit. And that means that when wisdom cries, Christ himself cries. Oh, do you hear him in our text today? How many times does he not cry out to us, urging us to turn unto him? Listen to what he says in Ezekiel 33, verse 11. There the prophet Ezekiel writes, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die O house of Israel. You notice here that the Lord takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He takes no pleasure in your death either. What does he take pleasure in? He takes pleasure in your repentance. He takes pleasure in seeing sinners turn from their sins unto himself and live a new and holy life. Now, to be sure, we cannot do this in and of ourselves. God must give us the grace to repent, and yet we must. Unless we repent, unless we turn, we will perish. Well, my friend, what about you? Have you repented? And if so, are you repenting still? Repentance is not just something we do when we become converted. It's something we must do every day again. Martin Luther said that the whole of the Christian life can be summed up with this one word, repentance. We must repent every day because we sin every day. And as long as we sin, we must repent. Now, sadly, however, many do not. And that brings us to our second point, the wicked rejection of this call. Lady Wisdom is calling out to gullible sinners in the streets, and she urges them to turn from the path of foolishness and to walk in the path of wisdom. Now, how did they respond to that call? Well, briefly, they rejected it. She says in verse 24, I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Notice the contrast. Wisdom called, wisdom urged, wisdom invited, but the sinners refused. They paid no attention. They simply went on living as they always have, heading for eternal death and destruction. Why did the simple refuse to respond to Lady Wisdom's call? Well, part of the reason is their depravity. By nature, man's heart is full of enmity against God and his word. He does the exact opposite of what God commands. And why? Well, Lady Wisdom put it like this in verse 29, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. You notice, they hated knowledge. It's not just that they were indifferent. They were actively opposed to it. And such is the case with every man by nature. Man by nature hates knowledge, especially the knowledge that comes from God. This is why it's so utterly foolish when people say that man has a free will. Man has no free will. He will never choose God. He will always choose sin because he is spiritually dead. What is more, the things of God are foolishness to him. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, Paul writes, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So man hears the word of God. He hears about the seriousness of sin, about the certainty of punishment. He hears of the sufficiency of the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the necessity of faith and holiness and good works and the willingness of God to save sinners, but he dismisses it all as nonsense. He wants to have nothing to do with it. In fact, he actively opposes it. He prefers to think that if he needs to be saved at all, he can do it himself. He just has to try a little harder, be a better person, and all will be well. Such people are deceiving themselves, and one day they will get what they have coming to them. And Lady Wisdom speaks of that in verses 26 to 31. There she's quoted as saying, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Well, my friends, the day is coming when those who heard but rejected the call of wisdom will quake with fear. On that day, they and all fools will be utterly destroyed. Calamity, fear, destruction, distress, and anguish will come upon them. Then wisdom says, they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. In fact, she says she will laugh and mock at them, and rightly so, for they will have only reaped what they themselves have sown. Solomon says in verse 31, they will eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. The point is, there will be no mercy. Those who reject wisdom will ultimately be destroyed. Here too, we hear the echo of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? He too says that those who reject him one day will be judged, and there will be no second chance. The time of grace will have passed them by, and they will be utterly consumed in his wrath. In fact, like Lady Wisdom, when that happens, he will mock and laugh at them. Psalm 2 pictures the heathen raging and the peoples imagining a vain thing. The kings of the earth, the psalmist says, set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. How will God respond to that act of rebellion? Well, he will laugh. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Now, at first, this appears rather cruel and heartless, doesn't it? How can God, who is a God of love and mercy, laugh and mock when the wicked perish? Well, he can do so because their judgment is perfectly just. For years God called to them. For years he invited and even urged them to walk in the path of wisdom and to be saved. But as Lady Wisdom says, they refused. It was not the case that God refused them. They refused him. They would none of his counsel. They despised all his reproof. Now they must perish. They have reaped what they themselves have sown. Nor will their cries of anguish move him to pity. Matthew 7, towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that there will be many, many. In that day he will say to him, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? But he will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. On another occasion in Luke 13, verse 24 to 30, Jesus said to the Jews, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. And then he proceeded to tell this parable. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Point is, those who reject the call of wisdom in this life will pay for it in the next. They will be cast into outer darkness, and there they will remain for an everlasting eternity. Oh, what a warning there is for those who have heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but who have refused to respond to it in faith. My friend, don't be like the foolish ones in our text. Turn from your evil ways, and you will live. Refuse, and you will perish. And there will be no second chance. Our text passage closes with a powerful summarizing statement. Verses 32 and 33, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Solomon here presents a sharp contrast. On the one hand, the simple, the gullible will be destroyed. On the other hand, the wise will dwell safely and be quiet from fear of evil. Two choices, two paths, the way of death and the way of life. Both of these paths have been presented to you today. Which path will you choose? Amen. Dear friends, we always appreciate hearing from our listeners. If you were blessed by or have a comment on the message you have just heard, won't you please take a moment and let us know. Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road, and Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, and that's in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can give me a call at 778-982-9102. That's 778-982-9102. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. If you would like to listen to the message you have just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at Banner of Truth Radio. That's all one word, bannerofTruthRadio.com. If you would like more information about the Free Reformed Churches of North America, which sponsors this broadcast, please log on to our denominational website at www.frcna.org. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. If the Lord has placed on your heart a desire to help us with the costs associated with this program, you can do so by sending us a check in any amount or making a donation in the donation section of our webpage. We heartily thank you for your support. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.